have a question on the board there. Very, very significant and important question. And that question really impacts everything we're going to talk about today. What do you think about when you hear the word jam? What's your favorite jam?
Raspberry. Marmalade.
So there's another type of jam beyond the sweet jam, you're saying. Well, I heard about this little fellow who got himself into one of those not sweet jam situations. And this fellow went to school one day, and the teacher asked the class what their favorite animal was. And he said, well, I replied, fried chicken. He said, the teacher didn't find it funny. The class laughed. Teacher didn't. He said, the honest truth is that my mom and dad told me to tell the truth, and my favorite animal is fried chicken. When he told that story to his dad, having been to the principal's office after the event, and he said, the principal laughed. The father tried to explain that maybe this teacher that he had belonged to an animal rights organization like PETA, which doesn't find that kind of thing funny, especially if you're relating to animals. So the next day he goes to school. And the teacher asks the question, what's your favorite animal? Now he knows that it's not wise to say fried chicken. So he replies, chicken. That's my favorite animal. So she was somewhat satisfied until she heard him mumble, and of course when it's fried. A second trip back to the principal's office. He's finding himself in a little bit of a jam here. And again, the principal laughs. The next day, the teacher asks, she decides to avoid the animal question. And she asks the question, who is the person that you admire the most in the whole world? And his reply put him back in the principal's office for a third day in a row when he said, Colonel Saunders. We can find ourselves getting into jams. Sometimes they're of our own creation. Sometimes they just happen. And we didn't really do anything specifically ourselves to cause them. At least we don't think we did. You remember that media event in 2010 where 33 miners in Chile spent 69 days underground when the cave-in. They were in a major jam. Yeah. 24 of those miners and their families are doing a world tour. And not too long ago, they were in Israel as guests of the Israeli government who paid all the expenses. And they're having a great time. And they hear a word that their next stop on a tour has been canceled, and they're being redirected to another spot. And in that redirect process, they find themselves in the middle of a 13-hour traffic jam. In the center of Jerusalem, there was gridlock that lasted for 13 hours, and they had to have people running around getting water and energy bars and all this to them. It was another jam, different type of jam, but they were stuck in terms of what their expectations had been, where they thought they were going, and life just ground to a halt. Jams in our life will do that to us. This morning I want to look quickly, because we don't have the time to do the whole autobiography or the whole biography of Moses. But Moses' life had a significant number of these events where things kind of ground to a halt. He was in a jam, or you could say he was in a pickle barrel, if you wanted to go that route. In fact, his life began that way. He was born into a situation where his family lived as foreigners, as slaves, in a very oppressive nation. There was very little freedom. In fact, the government edict had come down that all the male children that were to be born were to be thrown, dumped into the Nile River. His mother and dad really didn't like that idea. And so they found a way to protect them for a few months, and then they found a way to keep the spirit of the law without the legalistic element of the law, and they put the baby in a basket and put the basket in the river, right where Pharaoh's daughter would find him immediately. And so his life was spared. But he was born from the very beginning in a jam. There were things that were part of his life that he ought not to have to live with. But it was there anyway. And the mother worked it out so that she was able to keep her son for a number of those early years to teach and train him in the ways of God before ultimately he went into Pharaoh's training and was raised as an Egyptian. And it's interesting that Stephen talks about the fact of that Moses was powerful in speech and action in those young years. He had been trained. I suspect that he believed when he was younger that God had spared his life, and that he was somehow called to do something great with his life in relation to the people of Israel. And he had a destiny. He had purpose and goals that he was to fulfill for God. Because we do know that when he was a little bit older, around 40 years old, he endeavored to begin to do something about the fulfillment and achievement of what he believed was his destiny to lead the people of God. And when he did, all it got him was a jam. He ended up messing up big time, killing an Egyptian, and running for his life. In fact, he had to run all the way to Midian, the backside of the desert, where Pharaoh couldn't get him. What do you think that event did to all of those dreams, those goals, the perception that he had of success and a destiny that was bigger than himself. What do you think happened when year after year after year after 39 years he's still tending sheep out on the backside of the desert? What do you think he's done with those dreams and goals? Are they still vital and alive, and he's enthused about the fact that God is going to use him somehow to deliver the people of Israel? I don't think so. I think he's just put that whole thing, he shelved that whole thing. He's given up on all those dreams, all those goals. He's screwed up, he's messed his life, and now he's into negative thinking. It's not like there's a whole lot going on the backside of the desert with the sheep. He's trying to just get through it each and every day, making the best he can of it. What about you? What were your dreams and your goals? What did you believe that you could do, what you could accomplish when you were 20 years old? Was there something that happened along the way? Something that maybe you did and screwed up that whole plan, and now you've put through all kinds of years in which those dreams and goals were simply pushed aside, forgotten about, as you live from day to day, with no real expectations, no anticipations that any of those dreams could ever come true, for whatever the reason might have been. That God's plans and purposes are lost. 40 years Moses was on the backside of the wilderness looking after sheep. What we need to understand this morning, it's really important for us, is that what Moses did not know after all those years, what God knew. And that God knew that something remarkable was going to happen. And the change was going to come. In fact, the morning that Moses got out of bed and stood on his feet, he had no idea at that moment that he was going to encounter a burning bush that was not going to be consumed by the fire. And when he began to go towards that bush, he still had no idea, beyond the curiosity of the moment, that he was going to have a personal encounter with God. And even when he heard the voice coming out of the bush initially, he still had no idea that that innocent conversation which he began was going to end up with a commission that was going to send him by the sovereign God, the creator of the world, back to Egypt. After the 40 years on the backside of the desert, to do what he believed in those early years he was destined to do. He had no idea when he got up that morning. He may have mulled over at some point in his past, those 40 years, the what might have been, the if only. But now, and in that moment, he may have thought, you know, life's a rut. This is a jam. It's going nowhere. But in that moment when God spoke to him, he recognized that whatever jam he might have been in just got a whole lot bigger. Think about it. The jam you may be in, you may not like, but you probably become comfortable with it. You become used to it. You've accepted the fact that whatever dreams or goals or destiny you might have had 20 years ago, 40 years ago, aren't achievable any longer. And that's okay. Anybody feel that way? What if, when you got up this morning with no expectations, no anticipations, no idea whatsoever that today was the day God was going to intersect your life, but He did. What are you going to do with that? God began to talk to Moses about the very things that his dreams and his goals and his destiny had been based upon. What was Moses' response? Lord, you could get somebody else. You got the wrong person. I can't speak well. What happened to the powerful in speech and actions? What happened to the dreams, the goals, the destiny? He had so buried it that he couldn't hardly even conceive that God would ever want him, or God would ever call him to do what he was destined to do. His self-image had been so eroded, he'd thought over and over and over, no doubt, how many times, if he'd only done it a different way, what might have been. And now, 40 years later, I can't do that. No way I can do that. You gotta find another way. So what about you? What about me? How do we respond when God chooses to come back into our life and says, I'm not finished with you yet. You still got lots of tread. You may not think so, but you still can do all kinds of things in the accomplishment of whatever the dream, goal, destiny was that I had for you. When I think of myself, I could identify with Moses. You come up with any excuses why, if God encountered you today and called you to do what He called you to do that you didn't do, decades ago, that you'd be all excited and ready to go, or would you be trying to think of as many excuses as you could as well? Why you can't do it now? You know, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too tired, I don't have the resources. You come up with them, right? That we're following in those ruts that we've developed at the mental level. We've boxed our faith in to such a degree that we don't believe God could do that in helping us. But you know, if I asked you this morning, do you believe that today God would? You know, we all say, well, he could. But do you believe he would intersect your life? Because I don't believe a lot of us included would say that I'm getting out of bed today. I'm excited. God's going to come and God's going to meet and God's going to transform and God's going to change and God's going to do all kinds of stuff. And I can't believe what's going to happen. We don't get out of bed with that kind of expectation and anticipation, do we? We get out of bed with the expectation and the anticipation that today is going to be much like yesterday. It's going to be the same rut, the same things. We're just going to go on. And yet we say we believe in a God of miracles, a God of transformation, a God of change, a God of power and might. But we don't believe it. But we do act upon our beliefs, which is God ain't coming, God ain't doing, nothing's going to change. So Moses found himself in an incredible jam here. God has laid it out. He's come up with his what-ifs, okay? The excuses didn't work. So he's moved on to the what-ifs. I want to know some things. What do I need to do when this happens? What do I need to do when that happens? You know, they ask you, what God is this that sent you? What am I going to say? And he gives the whole list. You can read about it. Finally, God's had enough. Go ahead on. Go do it. What was his choice? Is he going to follow through? Is he going to re-engage with his dreams? Is he going to re-engage with his faith? Or is he going to go back and continue on shepherding? There comes times in our life when we make choices. And we'll say yes to God, yes to his will. Even when we don't understand it, even when we can't conceive of why God would ever want us to do that. Moses peppered him with the questions. I can't do this. And God said, get on with it. You know, it's really interesting. Think about this. Picture it. Put yourself in the picture. God's given you this big mission. Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to lead my people, over 1 million people, out of slavery in a nation that is the most powerful nation in the world in that day. I want you to lead a people. Oh, by the way, just in case you've forgotten, they're very defeated. They're very negative. They're very non-optimistic. They're very stiff-necked. You lead them anyway. I'm going to help you. What do you got handy, Moses? Shepherd's staff. That works. Take the staff with you. Now, if you're Moses, you look this way, you see 1 million stiff-necked, defeated, discouraged, slave mindset of people being held in bondage by the most powerful nation in the world, and you look over on this side and you've got a stick and you say to God,
Yeah, Lord, this is all I need. Let's go. Not me. A stick? Do you understand the jam Moses is in here? Do you understand that what God says to the church? Go into the world and teach and baptize. Make disciples. Impact the world. Influence those around you, starting in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. And you look at what you've got. The old body, which is tired, not really healthy, no financial resources. And you say, what's missing? What's missing in our thoughts is the fact that God has said, and what God has said, He provides for when we say yes to Him. I want to share with you a second important thing this morning. And that second important thing revolves around the commitment that Moses made at that point when he said yes to go. Because this issue impacts us as well. When you make a commitment to God, you're making a commitment for now. If I were to say to you, I want you to come back, be here in this place next Sunday morning at 9:00. And you came back next Sunday morning at 9:00. When would you be here? You would be here in the now. Okay? The past is gone. Whatever is in your past, there's nothing you can do about your past any longer. The future is forever coming. Next Sunday morning at 9:00 has not happened. And when you walk and stand on this spot, it's now. The only life you have to live is now. Because you don't know what the future holds. The future is always coming. You never get there. Because when you get there, it's not the future, it's now. So when you make a commitment to God, whatever that might be, the commitment is that you will fulfill that commitment in your now, in your present. So, as an application illustration, the alcoholic who makes the commitment, I will not drink. It's a commitment to drink, to not to drink now. A present commitment only. And when I get here, which may be a week later, where am I? I'm in now. So my commitment is always in the present tense. We look at the tasks, the things which we believe, the dreams, the goals, the destinies, all those aspects.
and we see the jam, the rut, the negative, the impossibility, the I can't. You see, because we're looking out there at what we believe the future might entail in relation to it. But God was calling Moses to walk with him in a process, a life, that was 1 second at a time. It is the moment to say yes to God, to be obedient to Him, to be faithful, to endeavor to stay in relationship to Him now. And we don't have to worry about all that somewhere out there that may never happen the way we imagine it is going to happen. Many people are concerned about bridges that have to be crossed that are never crossed in their lives. Far more than they do cross. And that's significant for us to remember to stay in the now. To not be overwhelmed by what we think might be in terms of God's commitment and God's call upon us, our purpose, our goals and destiny. Therefore, we do not have to languish in the backside of the desert. Because whatever the goals, the gifts, the destinies that God has laid upon our hearts, even where we have failed, we can choose to pick up again, interconnecting with God again, and walk with Him in the now. The picture down the road may not be what we had pictured back way over here somewhere, but it can be far different than it will be if we do nothing. If we simply continue to languish and with no desires, no goals, no anticipation. But if we enter into each day, even if it includes the non-sweet jams, with an anticipation, what is God going to do today? And if the jam comes, how is God going to help me through this? And what's it going to look like? Praise God for opportunities to grow and develop spiritually. To have the opportunity to think creatively, to overcome whatever the situation and circumstance might be, because if it hadn't come, I might never have had the opportunity to do that. Rather than looking on the negative, defeated side of it, and become a whiner, a complainer, and a victim. We are children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we have invited Him into our hearts and lives and asked His forgiveness. Paul says, you can do all things through Christ who dwells within you. That's the kind of attitudes we need to take into our day. Whatever the past might have been, because we make the choice to live in the now and to change whatever that future might look like by being obedient to God in the moment. That was not the end of the jams for Moses. You can read through the first 20 chapters of Exodus and chapters 11 and 14 in Numbers and find out all the various things beyond that encounter at the burning bush that Moses had to deal with. And actually getting those people out of Egypt and into the edge of the promised land. But the choice he made that day changed
history. Remember, Moses was one of the two that met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe, if Moses had done it right at age 40, he might have been the one, rather than Joshua, actually leading the people into Israel. But God's plan was not defeated because Moses screwed up at one point. And God's plan and destiny and purpose for you is not messed up simply because somewhere along the line that happened to you. You have the choice. I encourage you that your choice will be now walk with God. And in so doing, your life will be way different than it could be if you didn't. May the Lord help us to understand from Moses' life how what happened in his can benefit ours as well.